I hope you all had some pleasant Thanksgiving holidays and that you didn't eat too much. Of course, now, you know, at Thanksgiving time, it's a time of feasting, right? And so we're invited to eat a lot and eat more and eat more. And that's fine to have times of feasting, even though we want to use some discernment, of course, about that. But I also know that in this time of feasting and celebration with families and friends, it can be a season that's difficult for those of us who have some empty seats around our dinner table. And that's true of a lot more people than we might think. But still, at this time of the year, I'm reminded of the words from President Abraham Lincoln in the very midst of the Civil War and all that strife that was going on. On October 3rd, 1863, he issued this proclamation. And this is just one quote from it. He wrote, "It has seemed to me fit and proper that our blessing should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens into every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." Wow, some wonderful words from a president, right, who obviously believed in the Creator and the Father of us all. So as we wrap up our series on being thankful, let me call attention to 1 Thessalonians 5 today. We're going to be picking up in verse 9, a bit of a lengthy reading. We're going to read through verse 27. So please follow along with me if you would. You can open your Bibles or devices to do that, or just read along in the handout that you've been supplied. The Apostle Paul says this, in verse 9, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we're awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else." And then in verse 16 through 18, he says, "Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Pick up verse 19. "Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what's good. Reject every kind of evil. Then may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters." Now that I've fulfilled my obligation with a holy kiss and have fulfilled my obligation to read this portion of Paul's letter to you all, I think it only fitting that we take some time today to meditate on this counsel from the Holy Spirit. And that's really where it comes from. Yes, Paul's writing, but the counsel's from the Holy Spirit. Now, obviously, we see here a clear call to do what? Live a life of love. You see that? We're to live a life of love. And in the midst of all these instructions about how we're to live, the things we're not to do and the things we are to do, we're told it's God's will for us to give thanks in all circumstances. It is what he wants from us. More importantly, though, it's what he wants for us. Notice, too, that if our hearts are full of thanksgiving, we will find God blessing us with his peace, which will inspire us to experience some amazing joy. Now, it seems to me that that's been kind of a consistent theme in all of the passages that we've examined throughout this season of gratitude, hasn't it? Yes, we've also seen this joy, this peace, this gratitude that's under consideration does not depend on our temporal surroundings or conditions. In fact, They can be ours, all of them, in spite of our circumstances and surroundings. Thus the phrase, to give thanks in all circumstances. Literally in the Greek, it just says in all, in all things, in all situations, in all circumstances, whatever's going on. You ever heard the expression, somebody say something to you and you say, oh, whatever. Well, we looked last week in Colossians where whatever you do in word or deed, right, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Giving thanks. So in all circumstances, all situations, we're to be giving thanks. Now, the case can be made from Ephesians 5 that we can actually give thanks for all things. That's not the emphasis of this verse. Here we're talking about being so thankful for all of our blessings that we have, all the blessings that we have, that the present situation cannot diminish our appreciation. In fact, the verses leading up to this charge assure us that we've been saved from judgment and condemnation because of Christ's sacrifice for us. Should we be thankful for that? Shouldn't that be the foundation for our appreciation? That we're saved. We're saved by Christ's sacrifice. Now, why should knowing that make a difference to us as far as thankfulness or gratitude is concerned? Well, I want you to imagine for a moment someone gives you a fistful of cash. Now remember, this is just an imagination. I'm not going to do that today, okay? Unless you really need it, just come see me and I'll see what I can do. But imagine someone gives you a fistful of cash, but apologizes that, you know what, I'm sorry, but there were a few pennies that went along with that, but I lost it along the way. I'm so sorry, I lost those pennies. Are you thankful? Or are you so focused on the small change that you can't appreciate the windfall? Now, that might seem like a silly comparison, especially when we're going through some very horrific times, but again, listen to the Apostle Paul and what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I've shared this passage many times, but in this context, I want you to hear it. He writes, it is written in verse 13 of 2 Corinthians 4, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore we speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, he writes, so that the grace is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, he says. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly being renewed day by day. For our light, he calls them, and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Problems pale when exposed to the glorious light of the good news of the gospel. We are saved, and so are so many more whom the gospel has reached thus far. I anticipate that it will reach even more people in the days and weeks and months and years to come until Christ comes. And Paul says, because of that, we do not lose heart. Well, not everything's going great, but if the gospel is being preached and taught and spread and people are receiving it, that should encourage our hearts and fill our hearts with gratitude. No matter what hardships or misfortunes we face today, what awaits tomorrow for those who accept Jesus is so marvelous that all the pains and sorrow will be forgotten. Yet as we saw last week, to be able to rejoice always and remain thankful at all times, we're going to need help to keep our focus on what lies ahead. And that, my friends, may very likely require us to do what Paul encourages us to do in verse 17, pray continually. How many of you know sometimes when you're having a difficulty and you're not feeling very grateful that what can really help is to pray? To pray. And again, as we've talked about before, begin by expressing, you know, how much you appreciate God for his majesty and wonder and holiness and love and mercy. and then thanking Him for all your blessings. It helps us to have the right perspective. Now, speaking of perspective, Corrie ten Boom expressed gratitude for the infestation of fleas in a concentration camp in Nazi Germany. Can you imagine that, being thankful for the fleas? Why was she thankful for the fleas? Because the guards left her and her family alone. Our own Irma Hoffert told me of a similar experience in a work camp in Poland. She's among those people in my life who always seem to be able to lift my spirits and to improve my perspective, to give thanks for things that, why would you give thanks for that if you can see some benefit, any benefit at all? And sometimes you have to look hard to do that. Just sharing my heart with people like Irma and others lightens my burdens. How many of you experienced that? Sometimes when you're not feeling that grateful, when you're struggling, when you're stressed out over some things, you're anxious about some things, if you just share your heart with somebody close to you that will listen to you and acknowledge your concerns, doesn't it make a difference? Even if they don't say a word, their attentiveness can assure us that we're valued and we're loved. How many of you know what I'm talking about? See, God our Father is always listening, always attentive, always willing to hear what's on our hearts, always. And He knows when to speak to us and what to speak to bring things into proper perspective if we're open to hear Him. But that's also true of those people who are near Him. They also know when to speak and what to speak to help us to bring things into perspective. During the pandemic, I felt pretty discouraged. I don't think I was alone in that. But again, I was. I'm admitting that. Being disconnected from church, family, and friends. And that was tough. That was difficult. I struggled to see any good in it at all. Anybody else struggle with that during that time? When I expressed my feelings to my dear wife, Nina, she refreshed my spirits by reminding me of the good that God was doing in the midst even of the pandemic. She reminded me that He still provided ways for me to teach His word and to communicate His love. The gospel was still reaching people, some who I'd never previously met. Through blogs and online lessons and studies, I was privileged to lead some believers into a deeper relationship with Christ and was even honored to unite several people with Christ in baptism during that time. We'd arrange the time to meet here at the building. We'd talk, we'd pray, we'd study. Some would pray some more. We'd get ready. The water was ready. There was no crowd there, but it happened nonetheless because Christ was there. And they were accepting Him. I am thankful, very thankful for Nina. I've told people before, and she would tell you the same is true. She's my greatest fan. But she's also my most honest critic. Always for my good, she is. I'm so thankful that she encourages me in times of discouragement. Do you have anyone like that in your life? Do you? Maybe more than you think. But sometimes they don't know to share with us until we share with them what we're struggling with. Now, of course, when Paul urges us to pray continually, though, he's inviting us to call not on someone, you know, that's a friend or a family member. He's urging us to call on the one who is even a better source of encouragement than any other person could be. Obviously, to call on our Lord and Savior. Doing that the other day, a remnant of a poem I once heard came to my mind. Now, a remnant, you know, it's like part of it, a little bit of it, and I couldn't recall exactly how it went, so here's my rewrite. Are you ready? It's real short. We ought to be thankful for a whole lot, grateful for all the things we've got, as well as for all the people and places we're not. What? What? I'm thankful that I'm not in a hurricane or a hospital right now. I'm thankful that I'm not at home alone or living in the streets. See, I'm thankful for some of the things I'm not and places I'm not. Of course, if we were homeless in the hospital in a hurricane, what would there be thankful for? Not much. Unless, of course, the Spirit laid it upon us to realize that that might be the best place for us to be in those circumstances. Out of the weather and receiving proper care. Many times when I visit someone in the hospital and the situations are not really looking that well for them, they're having a difficult time, the Lord impresses upon my heart, reminds me that, you know, not everyone even has access to medical care. Not everyone has access to caregivers. We need to praise God that that's available. Amen? Be thankful for that. And what if we've just experienced some very great loss? It's normal to be saddened when the music ends, if you particularly love the music, isn't it? Yet let's not forget to be thankful for being able to enjoy it while it lasted. I heard that put this way once: don't be sad it's over, be glad it happened. The greatest blessings in this life are here only for a while. But hear me, the worst tragedies and circumstances and situations we have are only for a while too. That's what Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians 4. This is why most of all we should be thankful that we have been saved and we have eternal blessings, a forever home waiting for us, that nothing can take from us. I was talking with my son-in-law, Levi, over the weekend about a remodeling project that he was working on that tested his patience to the max. He was actually replacing a vanity and the sink with it, and it was an old vanity and an old sink he was trying to remove and without doing damage or anything, and plumbing can always be a bit, well, trying, let's just say, okay? He said he busted his knuckles and banged his elbow so many times he lost count. He said, man, it hurt. It hurt so bad. He said, it was the worst day ever. I jokingly said, aren't you grateful that not every day is like that? He said, amen. Amen. Sometimes, you know, even in our worst days, we can be thankful that there are better days that we've had and better days ahead. Not to be focusing on just that day as if it's eternal, because it's not. The worst of days is not. Very recently, I heard that some people grumble because rose bushes have thorns, but it's far better to be thankful for the roses. Our rose bush has done incredibly well this year. You know, this fall, it's blossomed. I didn't look at it since we got back late last night. I didn't look at it this morning, see how it's doing today. But it's just been beautiful. But it has these thorns. Now, could it be that there may be some roses about to blossom in our lives among the thorns that we're dealing with? Could it be? Might we miss the good God is doing because we're so focused on the things that are uncomfortable or even painful? I Googled, you know, why do roses even have thorns? You know, why do the thorn, where do they have thorns? I Googled it, you know, hey, obviously Google's going to tell you what's going on, right? Well, the theory is that the thorns are there to protect the flower from predators. That there are certain animals that like the sweet fragrance like we do, but they like to eat the rose as well. So that was a theory, that the thorns were actually protecting the rose. value in the thorns. Think on it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul speaks of how he was blessed by a revelation of the glory of God. He talks about how wonderful and blessed he was to receive this beautiful revelation of heaven. But then he says this in verse 7 and following, 2 Corinthians 12, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, what? Could you receive such a great blessing that you could become conceited about it? They could give you a big head? Evidently. God saw that potential in Paul, so he says, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, but actually it was God who gave it to him. Three times I plead with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, he says, then I'm strong. Now, it appears that Paul was actually thankful for his thorn, whatever it was. We really don't know. There's a lot of speculation about it. We really don't know what it was. But he was actually thankful for it. It wasn't a good thing. It didn't seem like it was a good thing. It was a painful thing. It caused him difficulty. It caused him hardship. It caused him weakness, he says. To be honest, I can't explain why he was thankful for it, but somehow it enabled him to be more clearly to see the power of God. And perhaps that was it. It made him realize his dependency on God even more than he previously had realized that. And that recognition of his needing God's strength and comfort and help caused him to lean into it. Sometimes we need to be reminded of where to find the strength. And when he recognized that, the more he recognized it, the more he realized it, the more he found the benefit of it. Thinking about thorns, I can't help but think of the crown of thorns that was pressed down hard upon Jesus' head. You can read about it in John 19, the first six verses. There's accounts of it also in the other Gospels. These thorns likely came from a date tree and would have been about 2 to 6 inches long and very, very sharp. They also contained toxins that would sting and cause inflammation. I doubt that anyone saw anything beautiful in the way they pierced his brow. The soldiers meant to cause him pain and humiliation, but it seems fitting somehow that thorns, which were part of the curse after the fall, would be carried to the cross by our Savior. Isaiah 53:5 tells us, he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace, redeeming us from the curse, was upon him. And by his wounds were healed. See, because he willingly wore that crown, bearing the curse along with the cross, we'll receive a crown of righteousness one day. May we focus today on that and be thankful. Still, if we aren't thankful for what we have now, we aren't likely to be thankful for what we hope to have someday, at least not for long. So we're really being urged to be thankful for what we have in the present as well. God's presence, God's strength, God's abiding truth, and the fact that the gospel of Jesus Christ is being received. Hebrews 12:28 says this, therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. No, what's he saying there? That The kingdom of God, the kingdom that we're in Christ, cannot be shaken. It cannot be shaken. It cannot be disrupted. It cannot be taken from us. It cannot. Since we're receiving that kingdom, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably, with reverence and awe. May the Lord help us to be thankful in all things, because he is faithful in all things. In our text, Paul actually said that again. He said he is faithful and he will do it. Do what? He'll give you the peace and the joy and even infuse you with the gratitude for all he's done for you in Christ. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you. I do want to thank you. Oh, Father, may our hearts be full of thanksgiving for what you have done for us in Christ and what you promise yet to do. And Father, for the presence and strength and support, encouragement and comfort we can receive in the now from you. But not from you alone, as if it were something that you're not at work in doing through your people. It's still you doing it, but when you surround us with family and friends who care for us and come alongside us and help us and support us and encourage us, Father, oh, what a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Help us to never overlook that. But Father, I believe much like Paul saying about that thorn in the flesh that he had, sometimes it's not until we're suffering with some kind of affliction or dealing with some kind of difficulty, it's not until then that we realize all the support and strength and love there is around us. Father, thank you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the way that she strives to be like Jesus in this world, to be a light and a support and encouragement and a comfort to so many. I'm so thankful for the body of Christ here. I'm thankful for the church abroad. I'm thankful for the gospel, the good news that is for all. And I'm thankful that there are people, in spite of whatever's going on in their life, whatever difficulties, struggles, hardships they're facing, whatever burdens or they're carrying or whatever barriers there seem to be, that they continue to just share the good news of Jesus. And that there are people who are hearing and receiving. Oh, Father, that brings us joy. That brings us peace to know they're finding peace in you. And we thank you. We thank you. God, be with those again who may not fully understand, comprehend what it is that you have done for them and are willing to do yet. May their hearts and minds be open to just receive the free gift of your grace in Jesus. And those who agree say, amen.